Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by tonight. You know, with all the stuff that's going on in our world today, all the negativity, all the sad things, all the scary things, all the unkind, violent things, we decided tonight that we would talk about positivity versus negativity and the actual worth thinking positive has for you personally. I'm going to let Shelley tonight talk a lot about this because she's involved with an organization that has really taught her a lot about this. Although I will say, before I bring her on the air, I have witnessed firsthand a major change in Shelley's persona. She's a survivor, and I'm not going to say things were bad for her, but it's certainly been a bumpy road, as it has been for most of us. And she's very strong bodily and very strong, you know, personality-wise. So a lot of times she has been quick to retort, and almost always with good reason. She's not a fight picker, but she could be easily a fight ender. And she has done a major, major turnaround. It's like her whole aura has lightened itself. It's like all around her. She's always been very bubbly and very friendly and very smiley and all of those things. But you could still feel the edge in her. And I'm not going to say she still doesn't have an edge, because then that would make her sound like she's weakened in some way. And indeed, that's not what has occurred at all. She is, if anything, stronger. But it's a kinder strength, a more empathetic strength, and the kind of strength that you appreciate being around instead of feeling uncomfortable being around it. Have you ever met a person that you think is really in charge? I mean, you know, everything about them tells you they're in charge, but you're uncomfortable around them because you know because they're in charge, it could be your demise because they are not a kind person. They are not the kind of person that you want to be in charge of what may be your outcome. And I don't want to put that on Shelley because that's not who she is at all. Her strength is different. And as I said, lighter and almost more under control. And I appreciate that. And because of those changes I've witnessed in her myself, I've known Shelley now for, gosh, probably 11 years we're going on. And I think that what she is going to talk about tonight and what she's going to try to maybe teach a little bit about is the fact that what you think is often the future that you've laid out for yourself. So it only makes sense that you would think positively. However, we have very strange makeups and very strange ways of handling things. And how many times have you said in your life, oh, I'm sick of this. I don't care anymore. I just don't care. I'm not doing it. I'm finished. All of us have said those things, every one of us. But really, the only time you succeed is at anything. I mean, go back to when you were 5 years old, 6 years old, and wanted to ride a bike like your older brother or sister without training wheels. How many times did you have to fall off before you rode the bike without training wheels? How many times have you done anything that seemed impossible the first, second, or third time you did it, and all of a sudden you could do it? Life never changes in that regard. Never, ever changes. There will always be something that you've never done before. You would like to know how to do and know how to do it well. But if you don't try and don't think positively about it, like, I can do this. I know I can do this. I've done things like this before, and I know I can do this. But you have to get up and try. And you have to believe in yourself. And we talk all the time about believing in yourself and knowing that you can do things and knowing that you have the strength and the willpower to do really almost anything you want to do. And your future is in your hands and no one else's. So I'm going to bring Shell in because I know this is going to probably help some of you. So I hope you're all paying close attention. Hi, Shell.
Hi, Rainey. How are you, hon?
I'm good. How are you tonight? Everything good?
I'm doing very good.
That's good. So I've kind of laid a little bit of groundwork for you. And before you start talking, I just want to really quickly say, when I researched this, besides some of the things you sent to me, I did a little research on my own, and it was amusing to see what stars talked about how they achieved greatness. I love the story. Jim Carrey wrote himself a $10 million check and kept it in his wallet for I don't know how many years, and he said he would cash it in 1985 or something. He said in the video, and he said it got so worn from being in his wallet, and a few days before he was supposed to have made it or been able to cash that check, he found out he was making $10 million with the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
And I mean, Will Smith, another one, started out a rapper, a goofy, gangly kid, and look where he's gone. Same with Jim Carrey. Neither one of them are what you would call, you know, like your, they're not your front of the class leading men. They made their own places, but the way they talk about how they did it is awesome. So, and the other thing that I read was positive thinking, which of course I know this already, but I think it bears I think it bears repeating, and that is positive thinking can reduce stress level, help strengthen your immune system. It's so good for your overall physical health. Obviously, it's good for your mental health, but it's also so awesome for your physical health, because it alleviates so much of the bad stuff that we let linger in our hearts and in our souls that doesn't belong there. So this goes back to letting go, not carrying these big things of anger for something that happened so many years ago that you can't do anything about anyway. All these things. The other thing I'm going to say that I love that I read tonight that means a lot to me, we've all heard the positive and negative feelings about a glass of water. Is it half empty or half full? Well, here's one that I read. The rose bush has thorns, but the positive way of looking at it is the thorn bush has roses.
Isn't that
awesome? Yes, I read that tonight, and I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, how true is that? Really? How true is that?
Well, that's the first time I ever heard that one. That's great.
I know. It's the first time
like
I'd ever heard it either, and it's so appropriate. So appropriate.
Exactly.
So I'm going to give you the fun room floor, if you will, and I'll just interject if I have a question or something. Does that sound good?
Really?
Okay. You're on. Well, this is the way our lives have been going here lately, folks. It sounds like I lost Shelly. And that seems to be the minute I introduce her to take the wheel of this car we're driving, and her cell phone drops the call. Too funny. Just shows you how well we work under adversity. Are you back, my dear?
Yeah, but I'm just coming up to West Atlantic again, so it might hang up on you again. This is the first time it ever happened so far away from it. That was pretty weird. I'm just getting up to the light now, so if it drops me again, I'll come right back in. It's bizarre. I don't know why that happened. But,
told everybody the first time I give you the wheel to drive the car and you drop the call. All right.
So I didn't even get to say anything. You know, bam, I'm in my phone hung up. but anyway, yeah, I mean, everything you said, it was beautiful. And again, you're right. I have gone through a pretty major transformation from within my own head. Now, the person I am is still integrally the same, my morals, my belief system, and things like that. What's changed is how I react to situations. I no longer react, I respond. And what I mean by that is that if you can think for a minute about being in the hospital and taking medication because you have some dire disease and you react to the medication, that's a bad thing. But if you respond to the medication, that's a good thing. Okay? So it's kind of that in how we interact with life, things that happen to us, how we interact with other people. If you react to situations, you're dealing from an ego, like knee-jerk reaction. And a lot of times the reaction can take a situation that may be stressful and make it more stressful. If you respond, you're taking control of the situation. You're handling it, you're staying calm, you're staying in the moment, and if it could have been stressful or started out stressful, you're basically alleviating that. You're taking a situation and minimizing any of the negative impact of it. And that's sort of what's happened to me over the last couple of years, is that I've kind of learned how to respond and not react, which is a major, major difference. And there's so many books out there. There's so many audio programs that can help people get to that point. When you hear people like Ed Foreman, who is just a wonderful speaker, he's in his late 70s now, and he has an audio program called How to Have a Good Day Every Day. He's a two-time, the only man in the last 100 years that's been elected to Congress for two different states. He's retired now, but he was in the government for a long time. He was also very successful in the oil business. He's had all kinds of businesses. He's been an entrepreneur, very, very wealthy man, but he started from nothing. And a lot of the speakers that I listened to that impressed me all started from nothing. They weren't millionaires. Many of them are now. And the way they got to their wealth and success, the way they got where they are, is by believing, number one, that it was possible. Some of them did it when they were younger. Some of them did it very, very late in life. So it's never too late, regardless of what, you know, people tell you. It literally is never too late. I've actually met people in their 70s that didn't actually start trying to achieve any kind of success in their lives until they were in their late 60s. And then a decade later, here they have billions. You were asking me last night if I knew anybody that was wealthy, that was blissfully happy, and I do. And some of them, it happened for them very late in life. So that, first of all, the fact that that can happen should make people feel better, because if it can happen for one person, it can happen for anybody. And the only difference between these people and a lot of people that are in my life that I care about or that I know casually is how they think. And the only thing that's made a major, major difference in my life in the last couple of years is how I think now. I think with total possibility. I've always been a fairly confident person, but I have a new sense of playfulness about what I can accomplish. You remember when you met me that I had been talking about my book, right? Okay.
Yep.
Well, now, I always was passionate about it. It was something that I wanted to do, but it was never in the realm of reality for me. It was just always something I wanted to do, but I always had to hold a full-time job and, you know, doing this to that. Well, a couple years ago, because of this shift in my mindset, now I'm in my mid-50s, okay, I'm doing it now. I'm actually writing my book. I've been working on it intermittently over the last couple of weeks, and starting next week, I'm going to be working on it almost full-time. So I will, in fact, be able to finish this book. Ironically, in the last few months, I have met four other authors who are impressed with, because I told them what the format of my book is, they're impressed with what I'm doing, and they said that as soon as I have a rough draft done, they're going to assist me in meeting a publisher and things like this. So here it went from a realm of wishfulness to this is going to be in my reality in the very, very near future. And the only thing that changed, I didn't meet somebody who made this happen for me. The only thing that changed for me was my attitude towards it and my belief that I, number one, could do it, so belief in myself, and
right,
making a decision to move forward on it. A lot of times people want to do something that would make their life fulfilling, but they never make the decision to move forward on it, so the people and the opportunities that would allow them to move forward on it never come into their life. You have to make the decision first. Don't worry about the how. Don't think about, oh, how am I going to do that? Where am I going to get the money from? You know, where am I going to get the time from? If there is something that would make your life exciting and more fulfilling, just make the decision that you're going to do it and think about it. And every time you think about it, get excited, feel good about it, feel that it's possible. Don't put a time limit on it. That's the worst thing you can do, because if you put a time limit on it, and a couple months go by, or 6 months, or even a year go by, and you're not seeing anything yet, all right, and then you start letting doubt come in, that can stop the whole process. But if you just keep feeling good and feeling excited, eventually those opportunities and those people will kind of almost magically show up in your experience. And I've seen it happen over and over again with myself, and I've seen it happen over and over again with other people that have learned this a really healthier way of thinking about life, thinking about their circumstances, and realizing that we truly are limitless human beings. The reason why so many people don't achieve what they want and what would make them happy is because on some level they don't believe they can. They think that there has to be something special, like all these people that have succeeded, that have done this or done that, there's something special about them. No, there isn't anything special. The only difference between them and you is that they made a decision that they were going to do something and they believed in themselves. Those two things are very powerful.
Have you got any suggestions on how somebody can, if you're all over the board, Shelley, how many people do we know like that? Oh, they'd like to do this. They, you know, let's pretend it's somebody who wants to be in show business. They can sing a little, they can dance a little, they can tell a few jokes, they can play the piano, but, you know, they can do all those things just a little bit. How can we help them narrow down what their true focus should be on? Is there some kind of words of wisdom we can give them to help them make a decision on where they want to go with those multifaceted talents, or is there something that we can say to them that can help them understand their talents and kind of hone on the ones that they're the best at?
Well, what I recommend on something like that, and like you said, you know, okay, performing arts is one. There's also certain people that like to be physically active and get into sports, or maybe you like reading, or there's all kinds of activities that where there are clubs for them, you know. I would recommend that people, first of all, try to find out where there are other people that have similar interests. That's one of the things that's hugely important. Now, you had mentioned the club, and I'm not going to go into the club tonight, but maybe another night I can actually talk about the club a little bit. But the one of the huge things for me is that this club I joined, I have access to people that are like-minded. Like I said, I've met some other authors, and it helped fine-tune things for me, because I think I had told you that the original concept I had for the book, which was good, I've kind of decided to present the book in a totally different format, which is actually going to be much more beneficial for the readers to be able to use my book and get benefit from it. So I am thrilled with this new idea that came to me in talking to these other people. It's like it got my creative juices going in a completely different place. And it was because I was speaking to other people who also had that same type of creative energy, and it was almost kind of like it got me going. So if somebody has a love for the performing arts, there's all kinds of community theater groups and something like that, they should check into something like that. Find, even if it's just one other person. But it really, really is helpful when you get people that are like-minded, who are going to be supportive of what you want to do, and talk to them. And a lot of times you can answer your own questions just by seeing where your conversations go, the type of where your interests end up getting sparked a little bit more. You know, it's very, very important to be around like-minded people and to be around people that are going to be supportive of your dreams and not make fun of you for them. And that's another thing that happens. People a lot of times they want to do this or they want to do that or they want to embark on this project, and a lot of times people are naysayers and they're like, oh, you could never do that, or you know, oh, you have to be wealthy to be able to do that, and it's just not true. So if you, like I said, if you have something that would really make your life better, it's something that you're passionate about, don't share it with people who are not going to be supportive of you, because you'll be demotivated. Only share it with people who will say, that's a great idea, and this is how you go about doing it. Because the truth of the matter is, we are truly limitless beings. We can do whatever we set our mind out to. Look at some of the accomplishments that people have had against all odds, all right? There's this, I told you that story that one night about that young man who had been in wrestling, and he lost, and you talk about perseverance, And we're hearing this whole we're hearing this. It was a little snippet of a movie we were watching, and they were talking about not giving up and staying in the game and going after your heart's desire. And they're talking about this young man who, and he lost across a 4-year time frame. He lost 135 matches. All right, 140 matches. All right. 35 matches 4 years in a row. 105 matches. I apologize. 3 years in a row, we won 35 matches. Well, anybody else would have quit after the first year, but he kept joining. This was a high school wrestling, but it was his passion. He wouldn't give up, and they kept letting him wrestle. In his fourth year, he was undefeated because he perfected two moves. All right. Then they pan away and they show him, and he's a quadriplegic. He's got no arms or legs. He was born that way. His arms
yes,
were
I've seen this
elbows,
video.
And it was extraordinary that he is so happy. He does not see himself as a victim. So you see something like that, and here is somebody who by anybody else's standards is crippled and shouldn't be able to do something physical. And not only was he able to do something physical, but he became a champion in it because he never gave up. He found two moves, perfected them, and as long as he got that hold done at the beginning of the game, he would win the match every time. Yeah.
Wow.
And you hear things like that, and it's just extraordinary. You know, I had talked one night on the show about, it took Thomas Edison 10,000. 10,000 attempts before he invented the light bulb. And
right.
Somebody asked him once, you know, what made you keep trying when you failed 10,000 times? And he goes, I didn't fail 10,000 times. He said, I found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb.
Good
you know,
answer.
And that's the
answer.
Glass half empty, half full thing. But if people would look at their life differently, if they would understand that all their experiences are to teach them, there really is no failure. If you attempt to do something and you fail at it, or what society looks at as failing, okay, and then you stop right there, well, then you have failed. Because if you never attempt again, then you did fail. But if you attempt again, well, now you have some education, don't you? Now you know not to do it that way. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you can't do it the way that was unsuccessful. So if you look at it as a learning curve and say, okay, well, now I'm closer to a success because I know I can't do it that way, let me try it another way. And you keep building on it. I met a man in one of these network marketing groups. He was wonderful. What a sweet man. And we got in a conversation, and he was telling me that most people that get into sales or try to do sales work will quit after their third phone call. After their third
really?
Call. They can't handle the rejection. Sales is really, really brutal because if you can't handle rejection, you'll never survive, okay? And most people will quit after their third no. They can't handle it. Well, this guy, he had a diary. He was so passionate about this product he was selling, he got 83 no's in a row. 83. But he believed in the product so much, he was so excited about being you know, doing this particular network marketing, that he stuck with it, and every time he got a no, he got excited, like Thomas Edison, because he said, okay, well, I'm one more no closer to a yes now. And he knew that once he got his first yes, he would be unstoppable. And don't you know that's exactly what happened? After he got his first yes, I got another no. And in something like 3 months, he had almost, I think it was 250 people had signed up under him.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole organization, from no organization to like this huge organization in under 6 month time frame. But it was his attitude. He never got discouraged. He never felt he couldn't do it. He made the decision that he wanted to do it, and every time he thought about it, he felt good. And these stories are helpful. Because how many times has somebody tried something and failed, or let's say didn't succeed. I don't like using the word fail. They didn't succeed in the way they had imagined. And after two or three attempts, they stopped. Well, now it is a failure. If you don't keep trying, then it does become a failure. All right? But if you keep trying, then they're just learning curves. It's like, you know, okay, so let's adjust a little bit. That didn't work very well, so let's try it this way. And you just keep trying it. I mean, for God's sake, 10,000 times, thank God Thomas Edison didn't give up, right? We all have life.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? And it's just amazing. And there's so many of these stories out there of perseverance. And like I said, the only difference is these people have a different attitude towards what they're attempting to do. It's a decision, you know, and positive thinking isn't just thinking good all the time. It's sitting there and having a positive attitude and life is just going to unfold in a wonderful way for you. It's simple, but it's not that easy. It is a matter of feeling good. It's a matter of having a good attitude about what presents itself to you. But it's also about getting to the point where you're self-aware, where you're observant. And if you start thinking about something that you want to do, something that you want to participate in, something you want to accomplish, or maybe a relationship that you want to bring into your life, then be observant, because people and opportunities will all of a sudden show up in your life, and if you're not paying attention, they could pass you by. You know, a lot of times people that are feeling badly about themselves will have opportunities present themselves, but they're in such a bad place they don't even see it. It goes right by them. You know, I've examined my life before I sort of understood how a lot of this worked, and I can go back through my life, and I have seen that there have been other opportunities that popped in when I wanted something, but I was in a different place back then, and I didn't take advantage of them. the difference between me 20 years ago and now is that now it's no longer a wish. Now I understand that I can accomplish these things. I'm no more, I'm not better or worse than anybody else. I'm just thinking differently. And that really is the only difference in me. But this, you know, like I said, like my book is now an inevitability. It's not something I'm hoping I do. This is a done deal. It's just a matter of time. I actually know how I'm going to structure it. I was actually working on a little bit today inside my head. I figured another thing out because I think about it all the time. So now I keep having all these creative ideas pop into my head because I'm thinking about it all the time. You know, so it's actually a fun process. And whatever your passion is, it has to be something that makes you happy. It has to get you excited when you think about it. Now, if you think about something that you want to do or something that you want to have, and then you instantly feel bad, that means you're concentrating on not ever getting it. That's wrong. You can't go there. You have to allow yourself, and it can take some time to build up to this because we get in a habit pattern of thinking the way we have been, all right? If you start feeling badly, you can, like, shake it off and say, well, that's nonsense. Of course I can do this. What other people have done, I can do also. And just look around you. Go and Google, like, some of these amazing stories on the Internet. There are so many people who have had incredible successes against all odds, and they're no different than you are. The only difference is their attitude was different. And in almost every single case, that's the only defining difference is if they thought differently.
You know, well, they kind of something else that you'll hear from a lot of people when you talk to them about things like this is they also push the fear aside instead of inviting the fear in and convincing themselves that their inner voice is right. And say, you know, yeah, I what was I thinking? I really, because that so often is the fear of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's to fear? If you don't succeed at something, you just try it again. I mean, all of your life is like that. What about your life isn't like that? Relationships, friendships, jobs. Hairdos, for God's sakes. I was looking at a 70s yearbook today, and we made some awful mistakes in the 70s with our hair. So
that's hilarious.
But I mean, you know, you've got to understand that these things are, like you just said, they're learning curves and they're opportunities to know what works for us and what doesn't. So failure, it's really kind of I don't know, I think it should be taken out of the dictionary because it's, you know, a failure shouldn't name you. And second of all, there really is no such thing as a failure in the kind of way that, you know, it puts itself out there. If you try something and only do it all right, you still didn't fail. If you don't try at all, then you fail something, but it's not the deed, it's yourself.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think a lot of people need to remember that they don't need to fear that failure thing, you know.
I mean, I've worked on some projects at the current job I'm at, and like the first attempt, a lot of things that get thrown at me, I've never attempted before. It's an industry I've never been in before, and yet in under a year, in something like 6 months, I became an expert in the compliance department in an industry I never worked in before because I'm tenacious. I know how to research things, but every time something was thrown at me that I had never come across before, you know, you get to that point, it's like, okay, well, what am I going to do this time? But I didn't worry. I just said, okay, I want to figure this out. I was like, I made a decision. I'm going to figure this out. And don't you know, every time I was able to almost very quickly find the information I needed to be able to pull it all together. And if sometimes I have to make documents or prepare something, so I create something, it doesn't look so good to me. So like somebody else would consider that being a failure, but then I'm looking at it, and I was like, but from there, I was able to step off and say, okay, here, I modified a little bit, and in stages, I ended up producing something that even to my, and my standards are pretty high, even to my standards was like pretty good, and I was like, wow, this came out excellent, where if I had stopped after the first attempt, when the first document I created didn't come out so good, that would have been seen as a failure. But I just kept at it, and each time I was able to say, well, I didn't like that, so I didn't use that anymore, and I tried it a different way, and I ended up, you know, I was able to create things. But in
right.
any time, it could take 6 or 7 or 8 attempts before I produced something that actually fell together, was concise, was correct. You know, and it's a good feeling every time you do that. And every time you do that, you get this surge that goes through your body because success breeds success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when every time you have mm-hmm. that, it just kind of makes you feel more like you can handle more of that. You know, and it makes life more exciting when you allow yourself to understand the possibilities we have. For really doing whatever our hearts wish for us, you know.
Exactly.
You have to take it out of the wish stage and put it in the decision stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, again, I think one of the problems, even if somebody can embrace this and get all of this, one of the problems is indecision about who you really are. Finding
right.
out who you are is not an easy task in itself, especially
right.
if you're young. But it doesn't stop when you're young. I know people that are older who let their life roll by and were pretty much, because I'm not naming anybody, underachievers who really didn't know what their passion was, who really didn't have any kind of that desire or wake up one morning and say, oh, my God, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I hear that statement a lot here lately. I think that we've had somewhat of an awakening. Our universe has a bit of an awakening as far as the possibilities are endless as to what we can do with our lives and things. But there was a time when that wasn't really true. It was set kind of in stone. Dad
right.
goes to the factory and works 8 to 10 hours, and mom gets up in the morning and makes all the beds and cleans the house and does the laundry and shops and prepares dinner. For a very, very long time, that
right.
was the template.
Right.
The template for our lives. And then people,
right.
you know, rogues, if you will, people who were like, I'm not doing this crap the rest of my life, broke out and did
right.
different things. I mean, that's how things have changed over the years. And if you watch old movies, I always laugh when I watch the really old movies that are on the Ted Turner channel there, old black and white, where everybody's standing around with cigarette holders and smoking, and there's alcohol set up in every room of the house practically.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even when we got to that point, that was like the, you know, the bad boy and bad girl era. And then we went to 70s, which was all about, you know, I had girlfriends who thought it was cool to make a list of how many guys they'd slept with. That's
okay.
what the 70s was like. And then the 80s, another thing, and then the 90s. Now we are into 2013. Many, many things have changed, and many, many doors are open now thanks to some of our predecessors. They've opened a lot of doors. And like we talked about one night, women's rights and the ability to participate in a man's world with, you know, our wings clipped quite a bit, but we still get to participate. And there was a time when that would have been considered absolutely positively no way in hell are you going to do that. So
right.
things have come a long way, but they're still, depending on how you were brought up, depending on the things that were drilled into your head for most of your life, is whether or not you are capable of even imagining what would really make you blissfully happy, of really imagining, picturing yourself in a place doing something that you think would make you very, very happy and make you feel successful and make you feel important, all the things that we all want to feel. Sometimes that's where the first big hurdle is, right there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well,
and
when you're trying to figure out what it is that you're... There's two issues. There's knowing what you want and not thinking that you can get it, or there's just not knowing what you want to begin with. And that's fine, because if you're there, then just have a good attitude. Then your desire should be to just want to be happy, because what will happen is, in order for you to be happy, you have to be fulfilled. So if your desire then is to feel fulfilled, guess what will happen over time? You will acquire the desire to want to do something or maybe get into a relationship. You know, it doesn't always have to be a job or money. Maybe you're not totally fulfilled because you don't have a significant other in your life to share your life with, you know. Sometimes it's just that you just want a best friend, or you want a romantic relationship, or you need another individual in your life that might give you clarity of what direction you want to go in, you know. So if you don't really have a clear understanding or a clear passion as to where you want your life to go, then that can be what your wish is. That can be what your dream is to have clarity. Say, you know, get up every morning and say, I'm so thankful for my life, you know, and I want to get clarity on what I can do to make a difference, if you want to make a difference, or what can I do that will make me feel even more excited, you know. But it's so important to be grateful of where you're at, regardless of where it is. And this was hard for me in the beginning, by the way, because where I started a couple years ago was on unemployment, getting fired from a job in not a very nice way. And I had just started learning about all this. So I was like thrown into the fire as far as, okay, well, let's make this whole positive thinking thing work, you know. And it came at a perfect time for me, because if I had been left to my own devices, the last 2 years would not have gone the way they did. And I have had some, and you know this, I've had some pretty incredible things come through for me, and certain opportunities presented themselves that I probably wouldn't have taken advantage of. I probably wouldn't even have recognized it in my old way of thinking. And it's just some extraordinary things have happened to me, but it's because I put myself in the position of, no matter what was going on, I remained grateful for whatever I had. But if my current status quo wasn't satisfactory to me, then I kept putting out the desire for something better, and opportunities would present themselves for this to improve and that to improve, and different things like that. So it's been quite an interesting ride for me in the last couple of years. I've met some people that have much more dramatic stories than I do, because they've been doing this longer. But it took me probably a good year to finally get to the point where I wasn't like going back and forth, because it is such a habit to think the way you have been. And like I said, I'm in my 50s, so for over 50 years I was thinking a particular way. And although I wanted to make the change because I was able to recognize how it would improve my life, you know, it was difficult in the beginning. It takes some diligence. It takes some persistence, perseverance, where if you kind of catch yourself not thinking right, you know, don't think about what you don't want, because you just keep that in your energy. You just keep that in your experience. If there are things about your life that you don't like, Don't concentrate on them. Don't say, well, I don't want this anymore and I don't want that anymore. What's the flip side of it? What do you want? Think about that. And the more you think about what you do want, the more you allow yourself to feel good when you think about it. Don't think about not having it. And don't put a time limit on it. You will be surprised as to how things will start improving for you. And you know, it will be gradually. I mean, don't expect things to happen overnight, but it will be noticeable, you know. But you just, you have to get to the point where you're willing to do that. And there are so many books out there that talk about this. You know, there's books by Zig Ziglar, who's a great author about positive power thinking, and Robert Kiyosaki writes some books about the difference in attitudes towards money. He had two fathers, he said, his poor father and his rich father. The only difference between the two of these men, one was broke his whole life and the other one became a colossal millionaire, and the only difference was their attitude towards money. They both started in the same place, but one didn't believe he could ever have money. The other man had already made a decision that he was going to be a millionaire and became a millionaire, self-made. And that was one of the things they said on one of the videos that you had watched that I sent you, is that 85% of millionaires are self-made. They don't start out with the money. They make the decision that it's possible and that it's going to happen for them in their life, and they actually draw in the opportunities, you know, because mm-hmm. they don't limit themselves by saying, oh, that can't happen for me. That if you say that, Henry Ford, there's a very famous quote by Henry Ford. He says, if you think you can win or if you think you can fail, something like that, I don't think I'm getting it verbatim, but the essence is correct. If you think you can win or if you think you can fail, in either case, you're right. You get that?
I'm a little confused. No.
Okay. If you think you can win or if you think you can fail, in either case, you're right. In other words, if you think you can win, you will win. If you think you're going to fail, you've already failed. So in either case, you're right. Because
okay.
your thinking is going to determine what the outcome of your situation is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and I do think that all in all, even here on the show, we've talked about a lot of this stuff and about how you kind of create your own outcome. You know, before we even started talking about so much positive thinking, it's also about, say you take positive and negative right out of the equation. It's still about how you think about yourself and what you're doing. Without making it positive or negative, it's about who you think you are and what you think you're capable of accomplishing at the end of
right.
the day. But again, you have to, I like what you said a few minutes ago when I said so many people are kind of lost in the maze of who, if they could make a choice, who they would be, if
mm-hmm.
they had some say in it, what they would do,
mm-hmm.
if somebody would magically wave a wand over their head and say, okay, now you're a fairy princess, what is it they would really ask to be? And I guess the answer for most people at this particular point in time is happy, right?
Right.
And joyful about their life. So what you're saying is that if we can get people to realize that and
mm-hmm.
let them open up that door, then in essence, the other things will come to them. Because if
exactly.
they're looking to be happy and joyful, the things that they're supposed to be doing with their life and with their surroundings and with the people that are in their life will be more obvious to them. If they're right. Okay. So I hope everybody gets that. I hope everybody understands that this is not, you don't have to figure out tonight before you fall asleep what it is you want to do with your life, because maybe you're 60 years old and you're thinking to yourself, what the hell? I think I've already lived my life. I don't, you know, there are people like that as well. But, you know, 60 is very young by today's standards. Has everybody seen the commercial where they talk about Social Security and how 60 now is in the middle?
Yep.
That there are people, our good friend there, Willard Scott, on the Today Show, I can remember when once a week, if he had two or three people that reached 100 to give their names and show them on the back of the Smucker jar. Do you remember that, Shelley? Are you old enough to remember all that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
oh my God, I haven't thought about that in ages.
Yep. Now There's many. And some of them, there was one the other day who just turned 110.
Wow.
So
it's
never, ever too late. And by today's standards, we've got lots of time to do lots of things. So if you're sitting someplace in the corner thinking, you know, the fat lady's going to sing pretty soon, I'm not. So get past that and realize that there's still lots of things that you can do, lots of things that you can accomplish. You know, somebody else who was very wise made a quote about the only time you're truly happy is when you're in the service of others, because then your mind is filled with how you can make other people happy and you become happy yourself. That is another very wise words, I think, words I believe in. And maybe that's where you should be pointed. And maybe by dedicating some of your time, your energy, and your effort to people who really need you, God knows there are plenty of them, maybe that would be a calling for those of you who are lost and don't know what to do with your time and are thinking that you're just sitting in God's waiting room. So
exactly.
I there's so many things. You and I, this past 5 months, have talked about so many different areas where there's major problems, so many different areas where there's major concerns about kids and even adults. There's so many places now where there's adults that don't have homes or where they're being abused, just like the kids. It's terrible out there. And if we can make a difference in one way or another, believe me, there is nothing better than knowing that just out of the goodness of your heart, for nothing in return, you've given to someone else. There is no greater joy than that, believe me. So sometimes that's where you need to start, you know, something very simple like that.
Right.
But I do agree with all the other stuff you've talked about tonight. I do believe that we can make our own future ring the way we'd like it to. And I do think, however, it takes some thought, and I do think that it takes some energy so that we understand what it is we're supposed to be doing, because a lot of people get confused when they don't just follow the herds and do what everybody has done before them. I'm not one of those. You're not one of those. So we have a little bit different kind of an outlook on things like that. And a lot of the people we've met, and a lot of the people that call the show or talk to us after the show, they're those kind of people too. We have sweet John Radke, who takes pictures of people all over and trains little kids and coaches football after he was bullied. We have Gary Leifer, who has dedicated a good to the bully movie and supporting the bully page that he helps take care of. And there's just so many that we've met that we know are doing good things. And, of course, all the people that we know that are dedicated to changing people's outlook on taking care of themselves. You and I know a lot of people who have decided that learning how to keep people healthier is what they'd like to do for people. So I think there's lots of hope for lots of things, but you have to be able to put yourself in that place, wear those shoes for a while.
I would like to mention a couple of book titles real quick, because I know we're almost out of time, that would be very good for people to, to be able to check these out. You can get them all. I got them all on Amazon. They're all, and some of them are only like a buck or two, and then the other ones, I mean, none of them are really expensive. But do you mind if I mention all these
book
titles?
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And they're all about either, like the first one is called The World Famous Classic Acre of Diamonds by Russell H. Conwell. It's a very teeny book, but this is about never giving up. It's about incredible success of people that just try one more time, okay, when it didn't look like they were going to. Another one is called the Famous Little Red Book That Makes Your Dreams Come True. All right. It works by R.H.J. I don't know what the author's name is, but if you go in and you actually it on Amazon, famous little book that makes your dreams come true. It'll show. It's a little tiny, it's like a pamphlet almost. I think it's like two books or something, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a great book. It's so simple, and it repeats a lot of what I've been talking about. Another one is called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. A little spiritual. It can really be for anybody. It's kind of timeless sentiments in here. It is it's a little Christian-based, but even if you're not Christian, you would be able to get something from here because it's almost in a non-denominational format, but it's a very sweet book. It's also a small book. And then you've got a couple of heavy hitters. You have The Magic of Thinking Big by David J. Schwartz, Ph.D. Incredible book about being successful, about being successful because you think differently, not because you have more training. It's and then he gives like state case studies and things. It's a fascinating book, and it's all about how to change the way you think in order to be able to achieve the things in your life that you want to achieve. And then there's two more books. The other one is The New Psycho-Cybernetics. Horrible title, fantastic book. It's called The New Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz, M.D., and it's an amazing book, and it actually talks about how the brain and how our thought patterns work to either assist us in creating a good life, a life that's fulfilling, or that can actually prevent us. Well, actually, like self-sabotaging, and you're not aware of it. It's an incredible book about how the mind and the brain works, and once you understand that, you can actually use your brain in a way that you turn it into a success-oriented machine or computer, because that's what our brain is, it's a computer, okay, instead of a self-sabotaging device. And that, unfortunately, a lot of us are using our brains in the reverse, and that's why we don't seem to ever get ahead. And the last book is the one I was talking about before by Zig Ziglar. It's called See You at the Top, and it's an amazing book about how to think positively. I love the comment on the front cover. It says, the how-to book that gives you a checkup from the neck up to eliminate thinking and avoid hardening of the attitudes.
Oh, wow. I love that, too. I love that, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that you've taught us all tonight, of course, is that something that we probably all know, we are our own worst enemies, especially if we can't wrap our brain around the things that are positive in our life versus the things that are not, and that we can we are amazing, and we can do some pretty amazing things. On that note, I would like to, on behalf of our show, Renee's Heart to Heart, send out our love and our respect to the amazing hotshots, the young men who lost their lives putting out that big fire in Arizona. And to their families, I imagine there's an awful lot of heartache in that part of our world right now. I want to make sure that everybody kind of remembers that in their prayers tonight. And
of course.
And make sure that we send out some good energy to the people that are left behind. As we know that we talked about last night, that's the worst thing that can happen to you, losing a loved one. And especially young ones that are doing such an amazing job. Can you believe a group of firemen that are called hot shots because they're the only ones that will go into such intense fires? You talk about rising above it all and dedication, I think that have to be up there in the top two, don't you think?
Oh, my God, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So our love and our prayers and our very, very positive energy goes out to all of those who are healing from that horrendous loss. And to all the rest of you out there that are struggling or facing hardships or worries, tonight when you go to sleep, remember that you can fix it all and you can change it all. You just have to believe that you can.
That's
so,
right.
So do it to it.
Right. And I want to close with the one other thing from Zig Ziglar book. It's very short. And he wrote in the front cover of his book, "I believe that man was destined for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness."
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Perfect. Okay. Thanks, honey. We'll talk tomorrow night. And to all of our listeners out there, from my heart to yours, this is Renee saying good night and God bless. And talk to you tomorrow night. Good night, Shelly Belly.
Good night, Reed. Good night, everyone.